Many of those who have studied God's Word will be have knowledge of this passage of God's Word that we've read together. It's the story of a man who came to Jesus one night long ago. A man who had got a burden of heart, a man who was very religious, a man who was filled with his religious knowledge. In actual fact, he was a teacher of the Jewish people. And yet he had an ignorance concerning spiritual things. And it is so true that it is possible for you, for all your lifetime, to go to church and even to go through Sabbath school and be faithfully taught by Sabbath school teachers and come go through a youth fellowship and even just sit Sunday by Sunday in the house of God listening to the Word of God. And yet, friend, having a certain knowledge about the truth of God's Word and knowing something about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't doubt about the facts concerning Christ, but you have not a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to such a person. He came to Jesus by night. Probably he was desirous to steal away to Christ because he was a religious person coming to this peasant preacher called Jesus. Many people despised this man called Jesus. They had dismissed him as someone who was of no account. But Nicodemus knew there was something more, and he was lacking it. He knew there was something more that he would have to find out about eternal life, and yet he had never experienced it with all his knowledge and with all his teaching. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said he stole during the night time, as it were, to come to Christ, that no one would see it. But man, let me tell you, friend, that's not the important thing. Thank God he came. Thank God he came to Christ. And he came to the one who has the answer and the one who is the answer to our great spiritual need today. And I don't know you this afternoon, but whatever your spiritual need is, I want to tell you of good news. Thank God the answer's in Christ. There is no one else outside of Jesus Christ that's got the answer for the need of your soul. And you're not saved. Thank God he can save you. And if you're backslidden in heart, thank God he can restore you. And if you're God's child and walking with him, thank God he can bless you, even through the preaching of the Word of God afresh. And so Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said to Nicodemus these words. He says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee." You see, Nicodemus, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to somebody else. I'm not talking to all of the others here in this city. He came to the Lord Jesus by night, and the Lord Jesus Christ answered him. He said, "I'm speaking to you, Nicodemus. Ye must be born again." Of course, the reason why that it says, "Marvel not that I said unto you," probably it was Christ knew that Nicodemus was surprised of hearing such a message, that he needed the new birth, that somehow that he needed a relationship and a personal relationship with God. He needed an intervention of God Almighty in his life because he was religious. He tithed, he said his prayers, he even taught the Word of God, and yet he had not the experience of what Jesus talked about. It was the new birth. And he needed to be born again. He needed to be saved and his sins pardoned and his sins forgiven. But you know, friends, quite often we tell people you need to be saved. But you know what we miss? We miss telling them how to be saved. And friends, you know, it's one thing to tell a person you need to be saved. You need your sins forgiven. But if you don't take the person the next step, you're failing them. Because you're leaving that person with a knowledge, well, I need to get right with God. What I have is not enough. But oh, would somebody tell me, how can I be saved? How can I know my sins forgiven? How can I experience the life of God within my soul, this new birth born of God? And so, whilst we often think about Jesus speaking to Nicodemus and saying to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again," what people forget is this, that one of the most favorite verses of the Word of God and perhaps the most popular verses of the whole of the Scriptures, perhaps it was the first verse you ever were taught in a Sabbath school class in a faithful Sunday school, John 3:16. Quite often people forget. John 3:16 was spoken to Nicodemus. an answer indeed of solving the problem of how he could be born again, of how he could have the life of God within a soul, and how he could experience eternal life. And the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Nicodemus, and he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he went on into verse 16 that we have, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Martin Luther said, here we have the Bible in miniature. Indeed, it is the Bible in a nutshell. Spurgeon said that it is the essence of the gospel. It is the news in brief. And so the Lord Jesus was speaking to this Jewish scholar, Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, one with great teaching and one with great knowledge. And yet he was ignorant concerning the truth of God's salvation. I wonder today if someone was to ask you the question. I wonder what you would say if they said, tell me, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? Well, you have to turn around. Perhaps you're a child of God here. And if an unsaved person was to stop you in the street of Londonderry tomorrow and were to ask you this question, tell me, how can I be saved? How can I get to heaven? Would you say, well, listen, I must bring you to Mr. Patterson. I better get you to the preacher. Friend, let me tell you, if that is so, that's an indictment against you as a child of God. You should not need Mr. Patterson. You should not need anyone else. You should simply be able to go to the Word of God and to tell them God's way of salvation. And by the grace of God, during this mission, night after night, we're going to bring men and women face to face with their need of God's salvation and thank God with a Christ who is the only Savior of the soul. And I want us to simply look this afternoon at what Jesus said to Nicodemus, because it's through this verse much of the great harvest of soul winning has been harvested and garnered in. For God so loved the world. Listen, you could quote it today. Perhaps you could stand up here and you could say, yes, I was taught that as a child. I remember that was one of the first verses I ever heard, and I love to quote that verse, John 3:16. But tell me, do you know the truth of John 3:16? Do you know what the Holy Spirit of God is saying in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Nicodemus hadn't got, friend. He hadn't got everlasting life. He hadn't the life of God within his soul. He didn't know what it was to have the new birth and to be born again of the Spirit of God, have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this afternoon, let us just very simply look at this great verse of God's Word, and it opens with these words, for God so loved. And friend, there's the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. There's the source of the gospel. It says, for God. For God so loved. Now, we live in a hard world today. Let's be quite honest, there's not much love about. And friend, the truth of the matter is this. The truth of the matter is this, that in many homes today, there's not much love. It seems to be that because of all the pressures of life, that love has gone out of many a relationship of a husband and wife. Love seems to be out the door. It seems to be this cold attitude. And love's missing in the home. How many children are going through life, let me tell you, in Ulster today? Let me tell you, they don't really know what it is to be really loved. To be really loved. Friend, let me tell you this. The old song was, a mother's love's a blessing. No matter where you roam, keep her when she's living, for you'll miss her when she's gone. Love her as in childhood, though she be old and grey. You never miss a mother's love. that she was buried beneath the clay. And a mother's love is a great blessing. It is true. And I know that, young man, perhaps you get embarrassed whenever you start talking about her. When you talk about having to say, I love my mother. Or I'm loved by my mother. But I tell you this here. That's a precious love. That's a precious love. Never be too big. Never think yourself too mighty. To remember that love. If you are loved by a mother, you have been richly blessed. For a mother's love is a blessing. I have in my years of ministry, next year in the month of July, I started the first mission in Macrofelt 50 years ago. 50 years ago. And in those years, let me tell you, I've seen the expression of a mother's love in many ways. I've seen a woman sit in hospital night after night by her child's bedside. And friend, while others would say, Mother, would you go home and rest? That mother sat on. Do you know what kept her there, friend? Duty? No. Love. Love kept her there. And many others would have just walked home and walked away. That mother still sat on because she loved that child with all her heart. I've witnessed it in many, many years. But a father's love's a blessing too. You know, whenever I think of a father's love, I think of the prodigal's father. Remember the prodigal's father, the boy who left home, his pockets were full. He went out there into the far country, he spent everything the father gave him, he wasted it in riotous living. He wasted it with harlots, he wasted it with wine and the world. That hard-earned money that his father had given to him when he divided his living. And then when he sat down at an old pig trough one day and he realized he was perishing of hunger, he even yearned for even the husks that the swine did eat. Then he thought of home. He said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And he made his way home, friend, and I can see that boy as he goes home. And I'm sure he had many a question. I wonder, what will my dad say? I wonder, will he tell me, get down that pathway. You've disgraced me. You've let me down. Look what you've done. Look at you. Look what a mess you are. You're no longer my son. The Bible says when the father saw him a great way off, the father ran. And the father fell on his neck and the father kissed him. And he said, my son. My son. What was that, friend? That was a father's love for a wayward boy. Maybe you've got a wayward child today, and let me tell you, friend, maybe you say that as far as the word, you're nearly afraid to tell anybody about them because they've shamed you, or maybe they've let you down. Don't forget to love them. Remember, they're still your child. Still your child. Don't forget this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were good persons. Not while we were holy persons. Not while we were respectable persons. No, while we were yet sinners. Unclean. Rotten. Hell deserving. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No, he didn't die for the lovely. As the Word of God says, none of us are lovely. We're all sinners. The father reached out. And he ran. He saw the boy coming, struggling up the pathway, broken and bent over by sin. But the father, when the father saw him a great way off, it was the father ran to the son, not the son to the father. What made him run, friend? Father's love. Father's love. When I think of the father's love, I can see David walking after a coffin one day, or after a funeral procession. He comes to a grave and he stands there and he cries, his heart's breaking. He said this, oh Absalom, my son, my son. Absalom broke his heart, friend. Let's be honest. Absalom broke his heart. Absalom took the very throne from him. David had to run.
And he had to leave and go over the Mount of Olives and go out there into the wilderness because of his son stole the hearts of his nation. David's heart was breaking. Then he heard the news of his son being dead. And he cried these words, "O Absalom, my son, my son." He said, "Would God I had died for thee." Why did he say that, friend? He would have gladly died in the place of Absalom. Do you know why? Because Absalom wasn't ready to go. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he says, "I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." David was ready, friend. Absalom wasn't. He said, "I'd gladly have died in your place, Absalom," and it broke his heart. Even though he was so rebellious. Why, friend? Because it was love. Father's love is a blessing. A mother's love is a blessing. A child's love is a blessing. And God has given Anne and I 5 children. And no matter how old they are, let me tell you, friend, they're still your children. You know, whenever I can think back on those days, whenever the children came and they just threw their arms around your neck and said, "Hey, Daddy, I love you. I love you." Those words are special, friend. To know the love of a child. But that's not what it says here in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved." And that's why whenever our brother started to sing, what a blessing it was to my heart when he started to sing, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell." Could we with ink the ocean fill, and where the skies of parchment be, and where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write, "The love of God above would drain the ocean dry." Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Who can ever speak of it, friend? Who could? What preacher? What preacher with all the oratory that he could ever have and muster? What preacher could ever preach about the love of God as it really is? But that takes me, friend, a step further. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's the secure of salvation. You see, salvation started in the heart of God, friend. Thank God one day it reached my heart in grace. Not that I love God, but that he first loved me. You know the wee hymn writer that the children learned perhaps at the beginning, "Jesus loves me." This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Listen, God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, it's so easy for a person to say, "I love you." And don't we live in a day and a generation, friend, listen, where it used to be that marriages lasted for 47, 57, 67 years, and now they're not lasting 47 days, never mind 47 years. And they stand in front of a congregation, they stand in front, my friend, of all their guests. And maybe they have a crowd of guests all gathered in, packed in to the service. And they stand and they promise before God, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. They promise to love and to cherish. And then the first crisis comes. It's all over. "Oh, I love you. I love you. I couldn't live without you." And friend, let me tell you, it's such an empty phrase today, but I want to tell you, whenever you think about the love of God, you think of the sacrifice of God. For God so loved you, sinner. For God so loved me, a sinner, that he gave his only begotten Son. That takes me to the cross. He gave him to a manger. He humbled himself and he
took upon himself the form of a servant. He became man and dwelt upon this earth, friend, as a little babe, where whenever he was born, there was no room for him in the inn. He lived a sinless life, but man had no room for him. They despised him, it says. He was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They gave him one day to the cross, sent him to Calvary's cross that you and I might be redeemed, and there upon the cross of Calvary he shed his precious blood, the just dying for the unjust, the righteous dying in place of the unrighteous, the Holy One dying in agony for the unholy, the perfect One dying for the imperfect. That's the cross. Isaiah prophesied it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, they're healed. Those are not empty words, friend. God says, I love you. No, friend. God says, I love you so much, I gave my darling son. And I sent him to Calvary's cross, and there he shed his precious blood to take away your sin. There was none other good enough to pay that price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too and trust in his redeeming blood and seek his work to do. Yes, he gave him to the manger. He gave him to the cross. He gave him to the tomb. Why did he die, friend? He died for me. He died for sinners. Just like me. You ever thought about that? Why was he there as the bearer of sin if on Jesus my sins were not laid? He stood as your substitute. He died in your guilty room and in your stead. Let me tell you, I deserve the punishment. I deserve the hell. For my sin, the wages of my sin was death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's the simplicity of salvation, that whosoever believeth in him. And friend, let me tell you, you've got to put your faith and you've got to put your trust in him and in him alone. It is not Jesus Christ plus works. It is not Jesus Christ the way to heaven plus churchianity. It is not Jesus Christ plus baptism. It's not plus confirmation. It's not plus anything. It's Jesus Christ alone. Alone. There is no other way. Jesus said before he went to the cross these words. When Thomas said to him, he said, Thomas says, Lord, I don't know where you're going, and how can I know the way? Jesus says, Thomas, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you believe that today, friend? There is no other Savior, that there is no other hope outside of Jesus Christ. Do you really believe that? Or is it just simply a head knowledge? Have you had a heart experience when you, my friend, acknowledge that you are a sinner, that Jesus Christ alone is the Savior, and therefore by faith you come to him and to him alone, and you place your trust in Christ and in his finished work of the cross, and you rest your soul on the work of Christ? You remember the Philippian jailer, he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul and Silas answered him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice the word on. Believe on. In other words, rest your soul completely on Him and on Christ alone. Not on anything of yourself. You will never be able to work your way to heaven. There are multitudes announced to this afternoon and they think that they're going to get to heaven because their minister tells them, do the best you can. Let me tell you, friend, the best you can will take you to hell, because the best you can in a sinner's heart is to sin. That's the best a sinner can do. Sin. The heart of man is deceitful above all things, the Bible says, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Charles Wesley, shortly after his conversion in 1738, he sat one summer's day in a study, and a little bird was pursued by a hawk. And that little bird, as it was seeking to get away from the hawk, suddenly the little bird flew in through the open window where Wesley was sitting there in his study, and opened through and sought refuge and flew right into Wesley's bosom. And you know, whenever that little bird flew in and nestled in Wesley's bosom, the old baffled hawk didn't follow. He couldn't get there. And John Wesley sat down and he wrote the words of that hymn, 196. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe unto the haven guide. O receive my soul. At last, other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Oh, what am I saying this afternoon, men and women? Young people, don't trust the church to get to heaven. Remember, this is the best of men that have ever stood in the pulpit are men at best. That's all they are. I would run to Jesus. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ and place that faith and trust in what He did on the cross of Calvary. You say you believe that Jesus died for sinners just like you. Will you claim His pardon, His forgiveness? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's whoever you are, believe in Him. In Him. In Him, friend. In Him alone. Listen to these words. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Isn't that good news in a world of bad news? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. There's the solace of the text. Thank God there's the assurance of attack. Should not perish. You know what that means? Thank God you'll never be in hell. You'll never be in hell. Thank God there's not a chance of you going to hell, friend. Because the Word of God says you'll not perish. Should not. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Do you know what that means? It means those who don't believe will perish. And friend, if you don't believe in Christ, if you don't put your faith in Christ and in Christ alone and rest your soul upon that finished work, if you're trusting in any other thing or any other way to get to heaven, I want to tell you in the name of God Almighty today, I want to tell you, you'll perish. You'll perish for all eternity. You'll perish in hell. But thank God, whosoever you are, that believes in Christ, you'll never perish. Thank God you don't need to fear death. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Never perish. Safe for all eternity, friend. There's a solace. Here's the wonder. I can climb the stairs tonight, and I can place my head upon the pillow, and know that if it's the will of God to take me during the night hours, that all's well. For all I've got to do is go. That's all I've got to do, is go home to be with Jesus. Do you know why? Because the old account's settled. It's all good. Nothing to fear. I fear no evil with thee at hand to bless. Nothing to fear, friend. In life, in death, in eternity, I've not to fear, because I'll never perish. And here's the last thought. But instead of perishing, I'll have everlasting life. There's the sureness of salvation. But have, not hope to have, but thank God I have. I have everlasting life. There'll be many things I haven't got, friend. But thank God I have everlasting life. Do you know how I got it? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Salvation's a gift. And you know what you do to get a gift, friend? Do you buy it? No, no, no. It wouldn't be a gift if you had to go out and buy it for yourself. What do you do to get a gift? You reach out the hand and you take it. You claim it. And the moment you reach out your hand for that gift, friend, and you claim it, it's yours. It's yours. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember, through Jesus Christ. Salvation, eternal life, it's in Christ and in Christ alone. And I beg you in God's name this afternoon as we finish our service, don't look anywhere else. Don't look to the preacher. Don't look, my friend, to the elders. Don't look to the church. Don't look to the sacraments. Don't look to the ordinances. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to good works. All of these of themselves will never take you to heaven. But thank God Jesus will, for He's the way. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, friend. He not only told him he needed to be saved, he needed to be born again, but he told him how. He told him how. And here am I 2,000 years later, standing at this harvest service in Londonderry, and I'm telling you what Jesus told Nicodemus. And it's still the only way. You know, God offers you a gift. I heard about a children's meeting one day, one night, and this speaker was trying to illustrate just how important it was just simply to reach out the hand of faith and take it. The gift of God is eternal life. And how? And you know, he got carried away with himself, and he said, you know, he put his hand in his pocket and he got a £5 note. And he got a £5 note and he said, listen, boys and girls, here is a gift. Here is a gift. Now, notice I haven't got the £5 note in my hand. But the more he was giving, he says, here's a gift. He says, will anybody take the gift? And one looked around and the other looked around, and to tell you the truth, nobody really believed it. But sure enough, there was one wee boy. And there's one wee boy, and wee Jimmy, he goes, and he jumped up from his seat as fast as he could. He says, Master, give it to me. And you know what all the preacher could do? Give him it. And the wee boy went back down, and Boaz, I can, he looked at it, and he held it, Boaz, and he said, it's mine. It's mine. And nobody ever prized it out of his hand, I can tell you. It was his. And it was. It was. And friend, let me tell you, that's what God is willing to give you today, if you claim it by faith. By faith. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But here's the problem. You've gone out of meeting after meeting, friend. And you know about God's gift and you know about God's salvation, but you've never received it and you're still in your sin. And if you were to be called into eternity, you'd perish in hell forever. As many as receive Him, John 1:12. As many as receive Him, and you do that by faith, reaching out that hand, just as that wee boy, the hand of faith says, Master, give it to me. As many as receive Him, to them give He the power, the authority, the privilege to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on His name. Here's my question. Will you go home with God's gift of eternal life in your soul, friend? Will you go home born again? Will you go home sure of heaven? By coming by faith and receiving Christ, or will you go home unsaved on your way to hell?